In the last section, we mentioned the International Telecommunications Union was the international body setting aside what frequencies get used for whatever in the various parts of the world. The ITU has broken the globe into three regions. Region 1 is Europe, Russia, and the Middle East, and Africa. Region 2 is North and South America. Region 3 is Asia, Australia, and most of the Pacific. We live in ITU Region 2 in the United States. If you decide you want to operate your ham transceiver on an ocean-going vessel and you leave the boundaries of Region 2, you have to adjust your operating to conform to not only U.S. privileges, but what ham frequencies are available to use in ITU region that you are traveling in.
For those not traveling on the open seas, but outside the USA, your use of the ham radio is regulated by the country in which you are traveling. The U.S. has reciprocal agreements with many countries, but not all. In some cases, like Canada, there's no special notifications needed. Just take your ham radio up there and go right ahead. In other countries, like North Korea, you better not hold your breath to get your authorization to use your ham radio. What frequencies and modes you can use vary from country to country, so don't expect to just get on the normal channels that you do back here. You need to do some research before you take your radio outside the USA, including Canada. You may even need special permits to have a radio in your possession in some places. So don't be ignorant, as you might not like spending your vacation in a jail cell just because you brought your HT on your trip with you.
Frequency sharing. In an ideal world, everyone would have a frequency to call their own, and there would be endless supply of frequencies. Sadly, the reality is there are more users clamoring for frequencies than there are frequencies to go around. Enter the term shared frequencies and frequency coordination. Just like the volleyball net at the beachfront park, our limited resources have to be fairly shared amongst those who want to use them.
The FCC does not assign us ham radio operators to use specific frequencies. They give us frequency bands to use. This is much like the mother taking her kid to the beach and she says to him, "Stay within 20 feet of my beach umbrella." She doesn't say, "You stand in that spot there and don't move an inch." The child can go anywhere he or she pleases as long as it's within range of the mother. Our ham allocations are similar. You could look at the radio frequency bands as a large beach, like Jones Beach on the south shore of Long Island. It stretches for miles. The FCC has denoted sections of the beach for the exclusive use of certain groups. It's told the broadcasters precisely where to put their transmitters and don't move an inch. It's told the fire and police where precisely to put their radio gear and not to move an inch. And it's taken portions of the beach, sometimes an eighth of a mile long, and told the ham operators we can do almost anything we want in that area. Almost.
The FCC has also given ham operators use of sections of the beach where it already has given others permission to use. These areas, they tell us that we can use these sections as long as we do not cause interference with other users on there that have priority. Thankfully, we find that most ham bands, the hams are the primary users, so we generally don't have to worry about some other non-ham entity having priority over our use of a frequency.
On the other hand, the FCC has given certain non-ham services the use of some ham frequencies on a secondary basis. There are certain radar systems that share the 420 to 450 megahertz band with us.
There are also other services that share frequencies on an equal basis. And on the 7 megahertz ham band, you'll find shortwave broadcasters. These broadcasters generally transmitting from outside ITU Region 2, but the way 7 megahertz signals travel around the globe, it's a major annoyance to ham operators here in the United States.
The point to remember here is that the ham bands are not necessarily the exclusive domain of ham radio operators in the U.S. or internationally. The bands themselves can change due to regulatory action. There are special restrictions placed on ham operators in the 420 to 450 megahertz band near the Canadian border and also near military bases throughout Arizona, for example. Primary users are supposed to be able to enjoy the use of a frequency without getting interference from others. Secondary users are supposed to make sure that their use of a frequency does not cause any interference to a primary user. With the exception of ham repeater stations, more on what they are later, All hams are supposedly given equal rights to use frequencies within the limits of their license class. Generally, this means a first-come, first-served system. If you routinely talk to your Uncle Barry on 14.215 MHz every Sunday morning, and this one particular day there's someone else using the frequency, then you need to either politely wait for the other guys to finish or get Barry to try another frequency. We are not given property rights to frequencies. There's no such thing as a deed to a frequency. There is much to be said for common courtesy and gentlemen's agreements here. Sadly, now and then some bad apples expose themselves, and it's usually due to an argument over who should use a particular frequency.
Ham repeaters are somewhat different when it comes to sharing frequencies. And they will be covered later when we discuss what ham repeaters actually are.
You've surely heard the typical broadcast call sign on the local radio or TV station. Hams have call signs too. It's supposed to be just a way for the FCC to figure out who is transmitting so they can look you up and get your address in order to send you a fine for doing something wrong.
There's very definite logic behind what may sound like illogical alignment of call signs, or assignment of call signs. The first letter, and sometimes the first couple, up to including the number, identify which country the station is licensed in.
U.S. ham stations always have call signs beginning with the letter W, K, N, or A.
After the first one or two letters, there will be a number and one to three letters. The portion before the number is called the prefix. The portion after the number is the suffix.
And the number reflects which of the FCC districts the call sign was issued from originally. This is a holdover from an old system where the FCC divided the country into a bunch of regions, and all hams within a region had to have a call sign that reflected the section of the country that they were in. For example, FCC District or Region 6 is the entire state of California. Years ago, if you talked to a ham and his call sign had a 6 in it, you knew he was either in or he lived in California. Of course, I say that because a guy from California could be traveling out of state and operating his ham radio while on vacation or something like that. About 20 years ago, they dropped the requirement for all hams in a district to conform to that numbering scheme. And as people then moved from one state to another, things got mixed around. Most ham licenses are assigned in an automatic sequence by the FCC computer. When you get your technician license, you'll get whatever the next available technician call sign for the district you live in that's available. It's just like going to the New York Department of Motor Vehicles and they hand you a license plate off the stack. It's the next one in sequence after the guy who was in line ahead of you. Just like license plates for cars, you can go back and get a vanity call sign if you're willing to part with some cash. And of course find a vanity call sign that's appealing to you and not already in use.
By the way, as an added incentive to get hams to upgrade to the higher classes of license, the FCC figured out they would restrict the shorter call signs to people with higher classes. The technician and general class license are issued licenses with one or two letters, a number, and then three letters. These are called a 1x3 or a 2x3. Extra class licenses can have a 1x2, a 2x1, 2x2. Call signs that are 1x1 are special event call signs and are specially assigned for short periods of time.
If you want a customized vanity call sign, you pay the FCC a small fee. I think it's about $21 as we record this.
Something like that.
And if the call sign you want is available and legal for your class of license, they'll assign it to you. You do need to pay the extra fee when license renewal time comes.
Ham radio clubs can also apply for a club station license and hence get a club call sign. These too can be changed into vanity call signs.